Well, Isaiah 60, 61, 62. Isaiah was a very unique man because he got called up to the throne. And when he got called up to the throne of God, he came before the face of God and he beheld the glory of God. The Bible said he did, and he was exposed to the glory. Anybody that's ever exposed to the true glory realm, they get exposed to the realm of God that was, God that is, God is to come. That's what happens to anybody who touches the glory. They're going to start venturing out in multiple dimensions because God's a God that inhabited eternity past, present, and future. And when you get to know him, you start inhabiting things that are beyond your day. And Isaiah, not only just a prophet, but he began seeing way beyond his day. And he spoke of his day. In fact, when he was caught up to the throne, those creatures, those living creatures were saying, holy, 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 the whole earth is filled with the glory. And they said the doorpost shook. Well, the whole earth wasn't filled with the glory. In fact, Israel was in apostasy and they were about to go into captivity for 70 years. But the living creatures were standing before the face of God. They were seeing another day. And Isaiah got to look into that day prophetically. So when he began to prophesy, he not only prophesied of his day and people being caught into captivity, but he prophesied the day of the Lord. And then he prophesied of our day. Isaiah 60, 61, 62, all of this was our day. It was a prophetic generation that was going to be called out of Babylon. Isn't it interesting? That same Babylonian spirit's been doing what it's always done. It's trying to control. It wants global control. It wants control of finances, control of the body. They want to control everything. I was listening to some guy on the internet the other day, and he says, listen, we've already studied and know everything you guys do already. We can track your behaviors. We can track your expenditures. We know what you do. We know what you like. We know what you love. That he goes, but what we want is we want to know what's going on in the inside. The Babylonian system knows no boundary. And if the devil had his way, the whole world would be under the captivity. But God will have his way. And people are asleep knowing what the enemy's trying to do, but God's not sleeping. God is full well knowing. God is the master chess player of all time. When the enemy thinks that he's won, God hadn't made his move yet. He just lets the enemy move, move, move. And it looks like he's winning everything until God moves. All God has to do is move one chess piece. And it's over because God is going to have his say in this last generation. And he already prophesied it when God says something. When his word says that there is no debate, and he's calling a generation out of Babylon because they were under 70-year captivity. But he's speaking of another day here also. There's another generation being called out of the Babylonian system. That is our generation, a prophetic church generation that's coming out of the Babylonian system. God's going to call us out, and he's talking about, I'm going to manifest my glory. I'm going to manifest it upon a people of God. I'm going to close out the nations with a manifestation of my glory in the last days. That's why he's saying, rise, shine, thy light has come. But he says something so awesome, and it hit me last week like a bolt of lightning. And when Pastor Church was preaching was Isaiah 62. I want you to go there because this is getting ready. He's saying, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. He's using the imagery here. Zion is uninhabited. All the people are in Babylon right now. Zion has no inhabitants in it. Zion is desolate, or Jerusalem is desolate. Zion is a spiritual place, but it manifests here in the world. It's a promised land. Say, Zion is promised land. Always has been, always will be. So when God God speaks of a promised land, it's uninhabited. The people have not come in yet. It has no inhabitants. It's desolate. And he says he's going to prophesy something that's so powerful. And the imagery he uses here is so powerful. And what he says, he goes, listen. He goes, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until your righteousness goes forth as the brightness, until the manifested glory is seen upon my people. The Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, kings. Kings are not impressed with the church right now because the church hasn't come in her glory. The church is in Babylon, but God's calling the church out of Babylon, and they're going to manifest the glory of God, and the kings of the earth will take notice of it because they don't have the glory. Thou shalt be as a crown of glory, Isaiah 62, verse 3, in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem. Now here is where he gets into the imagery. I've been in prayer all week with these verses because God married me. He says, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Say, I am no more termed forsaken. This is a Penuel moment right here. Penuel was the place that Jacob, it means face-to-face encounter. When Jacob entered the face-to-face encounter with the Lord, the first thing the Lord said is, he says what you're not anymore, and then he says what you are. Say, he says what you're not. When God calls an end to something, it's over. You can have struggled with rejection all your life, but when God calls an end to rejection, it's over. When God says you are no more Jacob, that part of you dies that day. He goes, I don't see you as Jacob. I do not acknowledge you as Jacob. You're no longer a swindler. You're no longer a supplanter. No more. You are Israel this day. You are an overcoming prince with me. Jacob's still shaking. It takes us time to catch up with what God says about us. Because sometimes we're trapped in what we were. And it takes sometimes time to catch up with who we truly are. Because God says some things about us we haven't arrived to yet in the natural, but in the spirit we're beginning to embrace it. And if you embrace it in the spirit, the natural will catch up. And so God speaks to our generation. These words are for our generation right now. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Everyone say, I am not forsaken. Now some of you look like that forsaken of God. That's not what he's talking about. They were under God's hand in Babylon. What they were forsaken was the promised land. They had not been joined to their true identity. They had not been joined to their heart's desire. He says, you shall no longer be forsaken or term desolate. Say, I am no more desolate. When it comes to your heart's desire, promised land, word of the living God, you are no more forsaken. God says it right there. He stops the division right there. He says, there's no more division between you and who you are. I say it right now, no more forsaken, no more desolation. God, with one word, stops. And he calls them out. What he's doing, he's calling them out of Babylon. He says, now. Now notice the terminology. He could have used any kind of imagery he wanted to, but he used the highest level of union there could be on earth. He calls them married. He said, you are no longer forsaken, but your land, say land, your desire, your promised land. How many of you have a promise right now that's unfulfilled? Look at the hands. That means there's distance. There's something between you and that promise. God saying, no more are you desolate. I am going to join you now to that promise. He said, thy land, say thy land, is now called Beulah. Say Beulah. I am now married. Say I'm married. Say married, under covenant marriage. marriage to my promise, to my destiny, to who I am. I pass through Penuel. I stand in who I am with God, and God said it. Nothing can change it. Say, my land is Beulah. That means married. So God says what you're not, and he says what you are. When he says it, it's done. He said, and thou shalt be termed Hephzibah. Some of you don't know this, but I actually used to say that all the time. I worked right at this car wash right here. And I get there early in the morning. And the car wash wouldn't open until 9, and I had to get up there set up to 8:30. So at 8:30, Anna doesn't know this, but I was calling her in. I would walk up and down, and I'd walk up and down. My land shall be called Beulah, and I shall be termed Hephzibah, for my delight shall be in her. My children shall be all appliance around about my table. You have a plan of good and not evil to give unto me a desire. And I'd walk up and down, and I would literally say those three scriptures for 30 minutes every single morning. When God marries you, there's no more distance. There's no more waking up anymore, wishing, wondering, and your promise keeps staying in front of you. How many of you have ever woken up and your promise just keeps waking up in that other day out there? You wake up to a day and your promise wakes up to another day. And it's always sitting out in front of you like you're chasing the promise. How many of you ever chased the promise? What God did in this chapter was something so different. He closed the gap. No more chasing promise. No more desolation. No more. Today, I marry you. He calls that part of you out, and he joins promised land and desire of your heart together. I mean, he closed the gap. He did that last Sunday. Oh, it was like lightning. He says, now your delight shall be in the promised land. Your heart's delight will manifest itself today. I give you a new name. Thou shalt be sought out. Married. Say, I am married to my promise. Married to my desire. Covenant marriage. Covenant union. I step in. That is a word you can step into. I don't have to wait anymore. I'm not going to be married. I am married to the promise. That means the most interesting thing God's doing. How many of you are a crown tracker around here? Raise your hand. Okay, you know, a crown tracker means we track with a crown. I have a friend. He's a kind of a business partner in Florida. He'll call me and say, what's going on with the crown? Because he's always up into what's going on in the world system. It's amazing. He goes, well, how's this relating to the crown right now? And I tell him how the events are. How he goes, what's happening to the crown? Because we're tracking with a crown. The crown was a promise of the latter day generation that would be crowned with the glory of God. And he would bring out literal house of David out. He would open that house of David, open the house of Solomon. He would open that glory again in the last days, the manifested glory, but it wouldn't be one David or one Solomon. It's going to be a whole church of David and Solomon's globally. They're going to be anointed with a house of David, the glory of it, the wealth of the nation, the poetry, the arts, the worship, the manifested glory that was on Solomon's tabernacle, all the wisdom that Solomon was given, except it's going to be the wisdom coming out of the right hand of God. It was going to be a generation where he'd reopened the glory of that house. It took him thousands of years to get that house into the earth. That started with Abraham. And it moved to Isaac, and then it moved to Jacob, and then it moved through Judah, then it moved through Caleb, and Caleb possessed the promised land of Mount Hebron, and then the champion of David came along. And when he came along, he crowned him in Mount Hebron, and then he brought all of that into Zion. But it took God thousands of years to get that crown into the earth. It didn't start with David, it started with Abraham. But that generation was a prophetic generation that God specifically says in the last days. The glory of the latter day house will be greater than Solomon's house.
And he specifically says, he that has the key to the house of David, I will open this house. And no man can shut it. You're living in the generation that's happening. You are the reigning kings and priests of the final days. But he's given these chapters. We have to come out of Babylon. Those prophecies spoken in those days were not fulfilled by that group of people that came out of Babylon. It was another generation. We're the most prophetic generation. God's image in his people are going to come, will come to its greater and greatest level ever seen upon the earth. But the enemy also is going to manifest his image. And he's headed for transgender image. He wants an image that does not include anything God spoke, neither male or female. They're calling people it. They're calling people theys. I heard somebody on TV say, call me a they. I'm like, well, how many theys are in there? If you call me a they, that means you've got a multitude of devils inside and you can't decide which one is who you are. God made male and female. He didn't make theys or thems or X's and O's. God's image is coming forth. But for our image to come forth, we got to come in and be joined to our promised land. And our promised land is going through gates. They're already established through his word. God's doing it all over again. God is going from Abraham to David and Solomon. Because all of the journey that God made, when he started opening the face of God, I was waiting to be caught up to heaven like all the rest of them and encounter God and the glory of God. I'm like, where's my encounter? I mean, all these people talking about their encounter. And he goes, I don't work with you like that. I work with you my word. I'm going to have you encounter my word that was, my word that is, my word that is to come. So the word that is to come, the crown, the glory of David's house, is being played out from the word that was. We're walking through scriptural gates that God has opened in the realm of the spirit. The same gates that Abraham walked through. The gates of Penuel, the gates of Jericho, the gates of Mount Hebron, but where the crown is headed is Zion. We're moving into Jericho. I mean, when we've been praying, that crown has moved through that gate. You know, we started preaching on Jericho 3 years ago. It's just now entering in now. Man, when the things of God, you got to stay with it. Amen. Caleb held Mount Hebron for 45 years before he inherited that mountain. We're passing through Jericho, is a very real place. It was the place they entered when they went into the promised land. It was the city, the fortified city, and God made a spectacle of Jericho. He tore those walls down by the angels of God, and it struck fear in the heart of the enemy. He was preparing the conquest of the promised land. He took the greatest city down to its knees. The walls collapsed. There were some promises, say promises, in Jericho. When the Lord came out to meet Joshua, he was armed for battle. Joshua thought he was a warrior. Joshua knew he was. Joshua was going to come and fight him. Joshua, he didn't send nobody else out there. Joshua drew his own sword. He goes, all right, come on, buddy. You're going to come out to me. And he says, are you here for us or against us? Because they both had swords drawn. Could you imagine drawing your sword against the Lord himself? He didn't know it was the Lord. The Lord was there armed, and Joshua drew his sword, and he said, no, I'm captain of the host. And Joshua, oh my God, he bit the dust. He fell to the ground. He had his holy ground Moses moment, and the Lord appears to him face to face. He's commissioning him. Anytime God gets ready to do, there is a commissioning that takes place. But all of it was designed to get us up into the realm of the right hand so God could get us ready for the prophetic generation to bring that glory back down into the earth. Jericho, say Jericho,
Jericho is the spiritual land the crown has come down into. It's the gate. When he stood in front of him, he was still standing in front of him in chapter 6. And he took him into the seventh day battle. He took him all the way through before he even started. He took him into the finish line. And he said, when you hear the prolongation, under the prolongation of the ram's horns of Jubilee, the walls of Jericho have fallen. They began to blow the sound of Jubilee. There was a Jubilee for the people of God. It was the first of its kind. It would release us from the slavery of the world system. God had to give them a jubilee. They had just come out and through the Jordan, and now you're freed from Egypt. You're freed from debt, poverty, lack, need, destruction. Your body's free. Your mind is free. Your soul is free. Your past is free. You're no longer forsaken. I do not acknowledge who you are. I acknowledge who you are. And he spoke. He goes, today, basically, I marry you with a jubilee of heaven. It broke open. And it released upon the whole of Israel as they received the Jubilee, and God utterly brought down their enemy right in front of them. They'd never seen anything like that. The walls of Jericho, the angels tore them down. They were flattened. That was a fortified city that everyone said could not be taken. And God tore the whole city down. And the glory of Jubilee released to the people of God. There was joy. Jubilee is freedom from debt. You are not indebted in body to sin. You are not indebted in mind to sin. You are not indebted in relationships to the former day. And you are not indebted to finances in any way. He called them out of Babylon that day. I want Tina just to pray and just speak into that before we go today. Everyone say Jubilee.
Glory be to God. Come on and put those hands together for the Lord. Somebody shout Jubilee in this house. Oh, if you believe it, shout Jubilee. Ever since he began speaking Jubilee, prophetically, I go prophetically where that is. He goes straight to scripture and I go straight in the spirit. But some kind of way, me and LaRue end up at the same place at the same time. Glory be to God. Only God can do such a thing. And I've been experiencing the Jubilee on the land. I've been experiencing it, and I'm just going to release today that one thing that I spoke last week. I don't know how many people saw me on Facebook Live last week, but that Jubilee came out upon me like none other. And I saw the lands in ruins. And when I saw the lands in ruin, I'm like, what is this? Because I want to see Jubilee. And the Father says, you're looking at Jubilee. And I said, well, what is this? When I saw that the temples were burning, he says, I'm upon your land and I'm burning down your temple. And what temples are these? He says, these are the temples that your forefathers built. These are the mindsets that have led you into your wilderness. This is the thought processes that deterred you from your promise and took you back into bondage. This is the way that you thought yourself into going into something good and you went into something bad. These are the temples of burning. And he says, and I must ruin everything. And all I see is flames of fire. And all I see is land. And he says, this land belongs to you. And there is a land that's getting ready. There's a land, but there's temples upon your land that has to be burned. There's a mindset that you wake up in every day that deter you from where you need to go. The way you think, you can bypass Jubilee. You can miss the whole parade, all of its doing, by one decision that you wake up in every day. But the Lord told me that inside of this jubilee, there's an anointing in this jubilee. That it's not just a message, it's a movement. And that I'm getting you prepared and ready. Because when it's cleared, when you're ready, when you're able to take on a full jubilee of his provision, you can't count, you don't have to count your losses no more. I'm going to say it again. When it possesses you, you don't count the losses no more. You let the losses go now. We're to a kingdom time that if I lose it, I should have never had it in the first place. If it goes, it's because it can't go to where I'm going. If it don't serve me in my purpose, I don't want it to go anyways. And if it interrupt the jubilee anointing that's coming, I'm willing to let it go anyways. And it is a spiritual attachment to the way that we think and we live and we move and we have our being. And I won't go that far down, but I will say that in the environment from which your forefather and you were raised in, there were things built that you had became a product to. And you became a part of such divided households against the kingdom that now the children of Israel, us being sons and daughters, can rejoice because there's a new anointing and a new day that's bringing us into a jubilee. And I'm going to tell you and serve a notice. It may go against everything that you thought to be true for the last 30 years. It may go against everything that you saw to be good to bring you into a greater good, into the anointing of jubilee. And that's just that part. And into this part of jubilee, there is a set free anointing. There is a setting free of you within yourself that you can feel it and own it and possess it. That you can feel yourself into a new place. And I'm going to tell you what jubilee is doing. It's working in phases. And it can start in your finances. It can start in your home. It can start with relationship. It can start in healing in your body. It can start anywhere that it needs to start. It just gets released and it just begins. And I said last week, it may not look the same like somebody else's. Your jubilee could look totally different. I went to Brenham, and when I went down there, I knew my mom was coming into jubilee. I knew it. But she didn't really know how to partake it. It was bigger than her. And I was walking her through a little things, and finally, she started catching on that this thing is bigger than me. And I'm going to tell you something. She sold a whole land and bought a whole new land. And in the transition of my mom being going on 70 years old, why? Why would she raise up her days now? And my mom is, I'm thinking like, you're too old for this. But this is jubilee. And I'm thinking, I don't want to go down this road with her. But this is jubilee. And when it shows up, it begins to do a work in you and do something in your life that you can only imagine. And my little mom did a transaction in Brenham, Texas that blew that bank out the waters. I said, blew it out the waters. And what has been rolled over to her is unbelievable. And every week she said, come. I get in my car and I come. And when I came this past Friday, I said, Mom, this is jubilee. And I said, in this day, I'm going to release it in this house. And I'm going to tell you the season that you're in, that your temples are in ruins. And everything that they told you that you couldn't do, now is the time that you can do it. Every time that you didn't even think you could buy a house. Now you done bought a house, sold a house, and bought a whole new land and house. Now she's living the life that she wanted 50 years ago. She's living the life right now. And I said, this is Jubilee. And that anointing hit me in that house, and I stood up and I say, I release it now. And that's what I'm getting ready to do for you right now. And I'm going to tell you about Jubilee. It'll take you into a worthiness. So yesterday was a consecration day for me. I couldn't go nowhere. I couldn't be around nobody. I couldn't take no calls. And the presence of the Lord rolled into my house. And when he came in, he says, I'm going to sit with you today. He says, and I'm not going to leave today. We're going to sit together. And I thought we were going to be praying, and I was going to be seeing visions, and I was going to be caught up. And you know what he said? I'm delivering you into worthiness. I'm going to bring you into your worthy place now. It was a garment come upon me that felt very unfamiliar. I didn't want to feel this good about myself. I didn't want to embrace this much good, and I had no control over it. I didn't want to take on a worthiness that I didn't manufacture myself. I feel an anointing. The worthiness that came from him to me was the inheritance that I knew I deserved. And I know that I'm a byproduct of Christ himself. And it is now time for us to have what has been intended for us to have. So when the worthiness came into the house, there was an anointing that came, and it was a heaviness, and I couldn't move. And he said, you're in your land of Jubilee, and you must feel worthy. I can't tell you that when you don't feel worthy about something, it will begin to slip through your fingers. When you don't absolute feel that you should have it, you can think yourself away from it. And that's when he said, Tina, I must deliver you into my worthiness. I'm going to transition you from the outside into the inside of me. And when I sat down on a couch that I never sit on, because I think this couch is just too nice. It's the decor. It's decorative. It looks so beautiful. I just fix this room up so when people come in, they just see all this glamour, and nobody sits in there because it is the decor of the house, and it is just that platform that when you walk in, you know I got a beautiful house. He said, now go into that room. The room that I never go in. The couch that I never sit on. Now go into the room of worthiness. And feel this day what it feels like to be worthy. And when I sat down, it was unfamiliar. But he said, the Jubilee have broken out now. And you'll be breaking out through different phases, and everyone will be different. But I speak today that if there is a spirit of unworthiness that wrestles with you, that there be a set free for you today in Jesus' name. That today you wrestle not with your unworthiness no more. That all of the good, what you see in your future, is what he has for you. And that you don't have to wrestle anymore with your Jubilee. I see that hand. I see it. It's a wrestling. Because you see the great future, but it don't match. It don't add up. And sometimes it don't feel good. And if you know this, I see it. It's not like I can't get there. I'm going to tell you about worthiness. It'll bring you to a place that you're worthy of having it. And when you come into that place of worthiness, there is no doubt that you should be there. In fact, there's an expectation every day that I should wake up in my jubilee. There's an expectation now upon me that every day I'm in promise every day. There's an expectation now that every place my feet shod, the presence of God is showing up, making manifest of all things. There's a knowing now that I know why I'm waking up. It's because there's a promise to be revealed. Now I understand about being worthy and coming into something. Getting a prophecy is one thing, but being worthy of it is totally different. Did you hear what I said? Shouting over the crown is one thing, but being worthy of it is totally different. It's because the family wasn't worthy. It was because the forefathers wasn't worthy. It's because they didn't tell me I can have it because they didn't have it. It's because it didn't come into the house. Those walls didn't come down. I lived in bondage. So I don't know what it feels like to be outside of lack because I was in lack. Those temples are burning. It's all going to ruins. Your land is going to be so clear. And like I said last week, you're going to see fire everywhere. And all you got to do is say, burn, baby, burn. Burn, baby, burn, just burn. Everywhere I walk, all I see is burning. But finally, I see the promises. What is the promises? The promises is your new day waking up in it. That your word is being made, manifested every single day. That this is not 5 years from now. This is now. This is not next year. This is now. Father, in the name of Jesus, there's a release in this house of worthiness. There's a fellowship of your worthiness that is given unto us. There's a portion of you, Father, that is falling upon the saints in this house now. There is a void place. There's an area in all of our lives that we never want to look at the good in it. But today we behold the greatness. And today, Father, those walls, the tearing down of all temples of all pride, ego must go. That the kingdom be built, that there be a new establishment of jubilee, a Beulah coming, the married one. Well, we say, I do. I believe yesterday, Father, I said, I do. I do. And if you believe today that you're getting ready to come into a marriage, why don't you say, I do? I do is that marriage. It's that oneness. You're saying I do beyond the circumstance and the situations. And Father, I release today the spirit of jubilee. There is an anointing in jubilee. And I prophesied this morning because I heard the word inflation and then I heard the Lord say, I fire back with jubilee. I wrote it down so quick. It just kind of blew my mind because he says there's a word of inflation. There's a word of fear outside those doors, but there's a fire back from heaven called jubilee. He says, I'm going to fire back with a jubilee. That every place that even where there's a doubt, the fire back is there's a jubilee coming and it's coming on your behalf. And we're so good about seeing it for somebody else. But this morning, I prophesy for you to see it for yourself. But you say, no, I see it. This is not just for the first two rows. This is for the whole rows. Come on, somebody. This is just not for the front row and sharing over here. This is for everybody. This is a celebration that is going out. There is something happening, and some people will tell the testimony and may not come in here, may be too big to tell. You know how folks get. It may be too big for you to bring it into on this mic. Just call us in the room. We'll go in the room. We'll just take two people. Some of you got testimonies that's coming in a jubilee that's too big to be on the mic. It's just too much to share. Some of you coming into something so great that you can't even tell your kin folks. Come on. You got to tell the church because you can't even tell the family. My mom came into a jubilee so big, she said, I can't tell nobody but you. That's how big jubilee is. That's how much that when it comes to break forth something in your life, it takes over so big that you can't even share it the way you wanted to share it. It comes in with a force that you can't even release it the way that it came into you. That it actually be released in portions. It's actually going out in little small portions. And one jubilee that I was waiting on since 2014. Something to break forth over me. This is personal. It was something that I wanted to break forth over my life. I knew that there was something having me stuck. I knew it. And though I saw things being blessed, there was things that were being plugged up and stopped. But I knew it. Somebody say, I know it. You have to be aware that there is something to be destroyed. Yes. That something is going to happen to break me into the right identity. And when I come into this identity, I'll look back no more. That's the word for Victoria. Look back no more. That when I get to this ground of promise, that everything else is gone and it will be over. I knew it. And every year I went before the Lord, every year. Oh, I'm listening to what LaRue's saying. Believing something for 3 years and not pulling. Every year I went to ask him, is it this year? And sometimes I prophesy to myself, I say, it is this year. It will happen this year. And this thing that kept me stuck from association, from temples, from mindset, from bondage, it was attached, but I knew it. And I kept going up. And so when 2018, 2019, when all these 20, big 20s start coming, I'm like, it's going to be this year. It's going to be this year. It's going to be this year. It wasn't. The same spirit that took me into bondage is a spirit that I met face to face this year, July 5th, by way of the Lord. And the Father says, now you meet face to face with this enemy. Go and request your freedom. But I was waiting on something else to happen. I didn't know that he was going to send me in. And I'm going to tell you, July 5th, face to face with the same enemy that I had been running spiritually from all this time, I went face to face and I requested my freedom. And in a conversation, I was told, no, not today. And the Lord said, I said today. And I said, today is today. And I asked kindly for all of these papers to be signed correctly to release my inheritance and my freedom. In less than 5 minutes, he said, come on, let's go. And there was somebody attached to my breakthrough that was knew that they were holding me in bondage. But because they say she a prophet, she can make it. Oh, she says she a child of God, she can make it. But I knew I needed another freedom. And July 5th, my freedom came. And there was a release of inheritance upon me. Come on and put your hands together. July 5th, a jubilee came and broke the bondage. I'm so free, it scares me. I said, well, nothing holding, nothing stifled. To a point now that all I see is the release for everybody else. I want you to stand to your feet today. Jubilee is, it's a breaker. It's a promise. It's a destiny anointing. But it comes through phases because it has to break you free. There's a celebration that's going on. But trust there are temples in ruins. And trust that whatever's going to be burning, burn, baby, burn. Tear it all down. And the way that I saw it last week was actually our mindsets was connected to those temples of idols, connected to those temples of wrongdoing, connected to injustice, unfairness, discrimination. Our innocence got taken. But the kingdom of God was our birthplace to be in marriage with him. And that is the restoration that Pastor Arnold was talking about, being restored back to the originality, bringing us back through all of where our foot trotted. Look at my mom coming upon 70 years of all of her bondage, finally living in the day of freedom of jubilee. Finally getting to a place where she can breathe and say, jubilee is my resting place upon the earth. That she didn't have to go and be with the Lord to rejoice in heaven. That here, heaven was brought down to her right here. That jubilee came into her life and took her where she needs to be. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I release a prophetic word of jubilee. I release the anointing that comes with it. This word is being manifested in all lives that's listening right now. And we release the grace for you to believe. We release the grace for you to receive. But I release a grace of manifestation. And this grace of manifestation, it is the works of God. It is the movement of God. It is his strong hand that's outdoing your hand, while enemies are now being destroyed and cast out. That there's going to be nothing between you and jubilee. That there's no more distance between you and promise. That every morning that when you wake up, I'm waking up into promise. I'm waking up into jubilee. This is a prophetic word that you got to take spiritually to say, I'm willing to wake up in it every single day. That there never be another day of distance between me and promise. There's nothing between me and my new identity. That the old man be cast down this day. And all that came with it, all associations, and I destroy the triggers. I send an anointing upon the trigger points of your mindset, upon the trigger points of your ear gates and your eye gates. I send an anointing to destroy every trigger of association, that even the familiar spirit of your old man be destroyed in Jesus' name, that there'll be no familiarity of your old. That there'll be a rush of a mighty wind coming in to surplus you into and plunge you and merge you into a greater identity of who you've called to be. That you're no longer role play of an old man. I feel that anointing. That you're no longer walk in the old man again. I feel an anointing. I release an anointing of breaker to take over and do what it is meant to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, we seal it. And I pray over and prophesy by way of grace in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today, come on and put your hands together. We're going to take our offering up this morning. We're going to take the offering up. And this offering, I heard the Lord say that I am a presence that's never an absence. I am the presence that's never an absence. I'm going to read to you 2 Peter. Here it is. 2 Peter 1 and 3. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. That his divine power has granted us everything. In Exodus 34 and 24, he says, and for I will drive out those nations before you. And I am going to enlarge your borders and your territory. And no man shall covet your land anymore in Jesus' name. Amen.